Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, be with us. Pour out your Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Do you know why his baptism is so important? His baptism is the example for ours. He was baptized, so we believers are baptized, whether it's as an infant and our parents make promises until we're confirmed, or as a youth or an adult and we make the promises ourselves. In baptism, we confess our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we turn from sin and accept God's grace, and we essentially begin a new life in Christ. But why was Jesus baptized? He was not a sinner. Why would he come asking for baptism? Well, just before this story, we see John talking about the kind of baptism he offered. It was for repentance, which is probably why he tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized. But Jesus tells him it's to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, it's to follow the will of God. So Jesus is baptized, and he comes up out of the water with the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased," and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. In Jesus' baptism, we learn that baptism is a sign of repentance and grace, and it's also about identity. It's about identity and being prepared for a mission. For after the Spirit of God descends on him, Jesus is sent by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he is tempted three times before beginning his three-year ministry. Did you realize that Jesus' baptism was so meaningful? His baptism was an end to his life as a carpenter and the beginning of his new life as preacher and teacher, a son of God, the Messiah. Jesus' baptism is so important for us today because baptism is a sign of our identity as sons and daughters of God and our preparation for mission in the world. For us, that preparation includes forgiveness and grace. So we repent of our sins as we come to baptism and we receive God's grace. I wonder, do you ever think about your baptism? Most of us don't very much. The famous Reformation pastor Martin Luther knew that baptism was so powerful, he knew it meant a new identity. Do you know what he used to say to encourage himself when he was overwhelmed with life? He would touch his forehead and say, "Remember, Martin, you have been baptized." Legend has it that these words were written over his desk. "Remember, you have been baptized." I wonder, could baptism become that meaningful to us? Because just as God's voice came down to Jesus and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved," God comes to us at our baptism saying, "This is my child, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." But do you think of yourself that way? As God's child? The Beloved? There's a story about a young boy who was shivering on a steel grate in the sidewalk. His clothes were thin and tattered. A woman dressed warm for the weather stopped and engaged the young boy in conversation. He was living on the street. This compassionate stranger took him to a clothing store and outfitted him from head to foot, including a new cap, scarf, and gloves. The boy was filled with gratitude. He could not thank her enough. As they said goodbye and walked in opposite directions, he turned back and asked, "Hey, are you God's mother?" The woman said, "Oh no, I'm just a child of God." To which the smiling boy replied, "I knew you were related." Isn't that who we are? Children of God, the Beloved. Talk about finding a new life. If we truly took that to heart. If we really remembered how the waters of baptism wash us, make us new, and declare us beloved, there's nothing that could stop us. To be beloved is to be made new. Who doesn't need that? One pastor I love to read, David Luce, says he thinks we should practice saying this about our baptism. I am God's child, and God will use me to change the world. What do you think of that? Author and theologian Henry Nouwen once said something similar. He said, self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. He said, being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. We are the beloved. It's our identity in Christ. We should live with that as our true identity, nothing less. In baptism, we are cleansed for that new life so that we can be the beloved, and we're prepared for our mission and purpose in the world. With baptism also comes the wilderness for Jesus and for each one of us. I mean, we live in the wilderness, a world of challenge and testing and learning, so we need the promises of baptism. You know, in some corners of the world, baptism is taken very seriously, and we could probably learn something from that. It means to live differently. Sometimes when people are baptized in other parts of the world, they're risking their lives or risk losing their families for their decision. I was reading about Pastor Jim Dennison, who served as a summer missionary in East Malaysia at a very small church. And at one of the church's worship services, a teenage girl came forward to announce her decision to follow Christ and be baptized. During the service, Dennison noticed some worn-out luggage leaning against the wall of the church, and he asked the pastor about it. The pastor pointed to the girl who had just been baptized and told Dennison, her father said that if she was baptized as a Christian, she could never go home again. So she brought her luggage. A Christian missions agency in South Asia called Asian Access, or A2, has a series of questions some church planters have asked new believers who are considering baptism. Listen to these. Are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father? 2, are you willing to lose your job? 3, are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? 4, are you willing to go to prison? 5, are you willing to die for Jesus? Talk about a sobering reminder for all of us. Sometimes our brothers and sisters in other countries are threatened when they come for baptism. In light of that, do we take our baptism seriously enough? The famous sportscaster Pat Summerall, who died in 2013, sure did. He was baptized after he overcame alcoholism and became a follower of Christ in his late 60s. He said, I went down in the water, and when I came up, it was like a 40-pound weight had been lifted off of me. I have a happier life, a healthy life, and a more positive feeling about life than ever before. Afterwards, he was always looking for a Bible study to attend wherever he was working. About prayer meetings and Bible studies, Summerall said, it's like an alcoholic looking for a drink. If he wants it bad enough, he can find it no matter what. I'm like that when it comes to finding prayer and Bible studies. No matter where I'm working, I know they're out there and I can find them. Friends, that's the idea. Our baptism prepares us for a new and different life where we want to live out our faith. And it's where we get that Holy Spirit power to make it in life. Remember how the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years on their way to the Promised Land? That was the time they learned to rely on God, where they received God's laws, and they learned how to lean on one another. Jesus, too, spent time in the wilderness, sent by the Spirit after his baptism to be tempted in preparation for his ministry. So spending time in the wilderness is true for us still today. We all walk through times of trial and temptation, but we are never alone. That's something really important about the wilderness in the Bible. People are not sent there alone. Jesus had the Spirit with him the whole time, and angels came to wait upon him after his temptations. The Israelites, too, were never alone. They had the literal presence of God in the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they had one another. No one is alone in the wilderness, not Jesus, not us. When we are baptized, we are not alone. We enter a new community of the body of Christ. It's not just about us anymore. All too often, we think of baptism as being very individualistic because we Americans are very individualistic. But baptism is not just about my salvation, my future, or my relationship with God. It's also about us, the body of Christ in the wilderness together. Baptism itself is based on the relationship of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, because God is community. So we live in community. We're in this together. Baptism is about us. We have God. We have one another. We are never alone. What does that mean to you? Do you realize that you're part of a community of baptized people? Baptism is a sign and seal of God's grace and forgiveness. It's a sign of our new identity. It's preparation for living. And it's a reminder that we always have God with us and we have one another. This is why we ask the whole congregation to make promises during baptism, because we're all in this together. Today, as we remember the baptism of Jesus, we remember our own, and maybe you have no actual memory of it, but the term remember for God's people is deeper than just memory. Remembrance is an act of faith. The term remembrance in Hebrew is very powerful. It's much more than a mental exercise. For God's people to zakar, or remember, means to experience again the power of the original event. Remembrance is not just finding a fact in your mind. To zakar is to use your body, your words, your actions to engage in an act of remembrance. Remembrance is something you do with your body, not just your brain. For instance, Chad Bird writes in his blog, The One Hebrew Word You Don't Want to Forget, about the difference between Charlie and Tom and how they remember their wedding anniversaries differently. Tom remembered his anniversary by sending his wife a dozen red roses at work, taking her out to her favorite restaurant for dinner, buying her a little gift that said, I love you and I'm so happy you're my wife. Charlie, on the other hand, remembered his anniversary the same way he remembers that 2 + 2 = 4 and that he's going to play golf with Jeff and Marty next Saturday. So at night when his wife asked him why he forgot their anniversary, he said, No, I remembered the date. I've been thinking about it all day long, which didn't impress his wife. See the difference, though? Remembrance for God's people is putting our faith in action to commemorate the event. It's using our body to recall what is so significant. That's what we're going to do today as we see in the waters of baptism, as we see the waters of baptism, and as we stand to affirm our faith. And I encourage us to do what Martin Luther did, to say to ourselves, remember, you have been baptized, because that is our good news. Today, as the sermon ends, a celebration and reaffirmation of our baptism will begin. We are invited to remember and reaffirm the promises and power of our baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, you can still affirm your faith and talk to me about being baptized. If you're able, please stand and follow our baptism reaffirmation. And if you are at home, feel free to get a cup or a bowl of water for you to reflect on the baptismal font.